Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Slares. Mike just brought up a great point. And for those who are not familiar with Mark, again, I don't know where you've been. Spent 16 years at ESPN as a studio analyst. But he is a three-time Super Bowl champion, Mike, on an offensive line that had various backs. Now, he had, you know, Terrell Davis, I know. But here's a guy that has a lot of experience and what we are trying to do, and that is the zone blocking. So we're going to ask him about that, obviously, but we're going to talk some playoffs. But I thought it was a very good point that you were talking about with Mark Slareth earlier.
Yeah, I mean, the zone blocking scheme, we had it here under Jim Mora in 04 and 05, and we went to the playoffs in 04. And, you know, it's certainly, you know, you got to have a certain type of athlete. It's a want to. It's an attitude. You got to have some athleticism. And we just had a harder time plugging in the zone blocking scheme, guys. As we said, save for 16 when we went to the Super Bowl. So we'll pick his brain on that. Hey, by the way, appreciate the text. You guys can always hit us up on our Twitter pages. Carl has put them up. C Dukes on Mike Bell ATL. Got that blog I did yesterday, Carl, about my favorite restaurants. And people are hitting us back with other locations and spots. I mean, it's tough when you get only five to choose from. But you can check that out at 929thegame.com. And also, one thing about our beer, a guy brought this up yesterday on social media, and I've said that's a great thing we never mentioned on our show. You know what our beer is?
What's that?
It's about the freshest beer you're ever going to drink here in Metro Atlanta.
That's true.
Every 3 weeks, they're pumping out more and more of the cans of Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale to Oconee Brewing over in Greensboro, Georgia, which is out there by Lake Oconee. So anyway, if you're looking for a tasty brew and it's fresh, because we know it's coming right off the line for you, so check it out.
New locations, just put it out there. Oconee just tweeted it. I retweeted it for, you know, a lot of folks. Again, we think it's all over the state. It is, but there are some cracks and crevices where it might not be.
Right.
So it's at your local package store, and go check it out and go find it. Real quick, who was that who hit us up just a little bit earlier? Oh, D. King. D. King, thank you so much. He says, Dukes and Bell, Hey Man L at my local package store, 10 minutes from the house. Appreciate the show, and now this. And he got his brew. So
his afternoon's Friday. You know, your Friday's off to a fantastic start, my friend. So thanks a lot. We appreciate your business.
Hey, quick reminder. It's the Game Bowl, guys. And we've been telling you about this. It's coming up January 26th. It's at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. You can go to our website, 929thegame.com/Game Bowl, for more info. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the slots are taken. I don't know. But if you can try to get in, I would suggest you try to do that. Either way, we're going to be out there. There's going to be plenty of family fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun out there. Bowling, bumper cars, laser tag, arcade games, and more. But it's for our paper football championships with money on the line, Mike Bell.
That's right, $1,000 first prize. Thanks to everybody at Camus, the game day cognac.
All right, man, we're going to talk more NFL playoffs, AFC-NFC championship game. We'll do that with Mark Slareth here in about 20 minutes. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, real quick, I just want to ask you, do you bring in another guy, or do you just elevate somebody if you're Dan Quinn with this whole clock management appointment?
And maybe Malarkey can't help you with that, too, or is he going to be busy working with the tight ends and the O-line? I just assumed Malarkey was going to do that anyway when we brought him in. Because Mike is listed as tight ends coach, but he has a ton of experience as an O-line coach as well and as an OC. So we'll see. I mean, Do you have to go and find a guy? Like I said, we were joking around. Why not have put a poll up there, Carl? What do you think the Falcons should do?
Can you imagine that at the stadium?
Punt. B, fake punt. C, waste a timeout. Run a fourth and one without a quarterback sneak and lose 3 yards. I mean, we've got to get this. That's the thing, man. This O-line has got to get fixed, man. We've got to get this offensive line right.
It would be pretty funny. It'd be almost like The Price is Right, where people are yelling out, you know, the prices.
Punt it. Quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Jet sweep for a 4-yard loss.
And if we had devices, they would be on the field by the end of the game.
Third and one. Based on Sark's experience, Madden shotgun slant to Sanu. We just can never get short yardage.
Here's some NFL news, guys. Cowboys fire Scott Linehan. Yeah, their offensive coordinator.
Oh, God. That's half measures. Fire Garrett. What has the man won? What has the man done?
He's done nothing. One playoff win, Mike. They announced that today. Cowboys will move ahead with a different play caller for the first time since 2014. You know, Garrett put out a nice little memo. This was not an easy decision because of how highly regarded we think of Scott Hanna. Whatever. Fire yourself, will you? Okay? Cowboys offense this season, 22nd in the league.
Right.
Could they have been better?
They've got pumped up with the arrival of Amari Cooper, certainly. Now, you probably need to go get one more wide receiver for him.
Yeah, they didn't get anything going, though. Mm-hmm. They didn't get Cooper going in that game against the Rams, Mike. He never really got going in that game.
Yeah, I just, you know, late, but it was too little too late. I've never understood how Garrett stays there. And the fact that maybe because they've had as much turnover with that roster that guys don't look at him as just a rubber stamp for Jerry Jones. It just seems like, you know, they've taken away play calling. They took away all the – and they've had a ton. Remember, they had Callahan. Remember Nebraska? They had a bunch of other guys that they brought in to help beef up that offense, and it never does anything.
No, it doesn't. So Cowboys looking for a new OC. They averaged, 21.2 points per game this season, even though they had the NFL's leading rusher in Zeke, who had over 1,400 yards. All right, in some other news, J.J. Watt has knee cleaned up. I love J.J. Watt. I think everybody does. But I think you talk about windows of him being that dominant guy. I think those days are gone, Mike. You know, back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Well, I mean, he couldn't get after Andrew Luck. I mean, part of the reason they lost to the Colts, they couldn't generate heat with those down linemen because their linebacker core was terrible.
Yep.
You know, and Jadeveon Clowney, after all that hype, I mean, you're right. I mean, Bill O'Brien's holding on to his job. And once I think Deshaun Watson comes back and he's certainly 100%, they rolled the dice on Bebe Thomas. He's got nothing left. So they're going to have to go get another wide receiver, obviously. I mean, somebody saw. They had pieces, but they got decimated with injuries in the Texans. But on the defensive side, merciless Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, and you just talked about Watt. I mean, you're right. This is their chance that they should be going deep in the playoffs, not getting eliminated in the first round.
So I want to put it in perspective. Watt had 16 sacks this year. Now, I would love for Vic Beasley to have had 16 sacks. Here's the difference. Watt has elevated his game to a level where there's an expectation of defensive MVP. In many cases, you could have even said the years he won that, he could have maybe been the league MVP. Okay?
Right.
That's the expectation for Watt. So for Watt to say he had 16 sacks, that is great. Is he going to continue to be that dominant guy that you have to account for when you play the Texans? That's what Mike and I are talking about. And understand, they got no sacks when it mattered most against the Indianapolis Colts. So for all of that regular season, in the playoffs,
right,
where was J.J. Watt? He batted a couple balls down. I just think, you know, when we talk about Watt, he is a banged-up guy now. And getting his knee scoped or cleaned up, that's not a big deal. But I just think it speaks to, Mike, what we're talking about. The Texans are going to have to revamp defensively. They got a quarterback. They got a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And they got all those other pieces on the line. They got to do something defensively to get better. And that's where I think their hard decisions are going to come.
I mean, because here's the thing. While the Colts were screwing around and Andrew Luck wasn't healthy, you know, guess what? You missed your window, to your point.
Yeah.
Because now the Colts are going to be rocking and rolling.
All right, man. If you're Fitzgerald, if you are Larry Fitzgerald, do you go back to play for the Cardinals?
What's he got to prove?
Nothing.
And that team is horrible, and they're going to be – I mean, he's older than the coach, right? Or is he, I don't know. No, actually, he's – you know, Cliff Kingsbury is actually older than Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, he is.
It's going to be a long – that's turning – I know that's a U-turn for a battleship. That's going to take a minute.
They said Cardinals are saying they'd love to have Larry back. $16.8 million cap hit this year?
We love Larry. He's one of our favorite interviews. Good dude. You know, money, but I just don't know, I mean, how much wear and tear. And by the way, you want to jazz up Monday Night Football when he was ready to roll? Put him in the booth with Booger.
Good call.
You know?
Yeah, Larry's solid.
Hell, Larry could even host it. You don't even have to have Testator.
No, he is. He's solid. He said, by the way, about Cliff Kingsbury, hell of a coach. I'm excited for his career. He says, look at his resume. He's innovative offensively. That's somebody with the future right now. So I'm excited for the chance to meet him. But he didn't say whether or not he plans on coming back. If I'm Larry, I'm chilling. I mean, listen.
I said, I mean, the money is the money, but the Cardinals' big picture, they got to move on at this stage.
All right, man, it's our NFL Blitz segment. We're going to talk about the championship games. As we said, Mark Schlereth set to join us here in about 10 minutes. A couple other stories we're going to get to before we let you hear Bill Belichick and from Gronk and Sean McVay. Lamar Jackson, Mike, wants to replicate what Brady has done. He told Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL that he doesn't see any limit to what he can do. And his goals are to have a similar impact in Baltimore to Brady and what Brady has done in New England. Listen, what quarterback wouldn't want to replicate this?
Aim high, right? If you're a Lamar Jackson, he's going to get more accurate. He's going to make better decisions. He just was so awful in that first half against San Diego. And then finally, and then the switch went on. And then he was starting to make plays. He just looked like he was a guy playing in his, he was nervous. He just looked very discombobulated in the playoff game, didn't he?
He did. He really did. Speaking of Brady and the Patriots, let's hear from Belichick talking about the coach that he'll face on Sunday. That's Andy Reid.
Does a great job of taking new ideas, new concepts, and utilizing them in a productive and efficient way, and develops them within the framework of his system to just create more problems for the defense.
There you go. Andy Reid, no one's ever debated Andy Reid as far as offensive mind. It's just, in the past, whether you think it's fair or unfair, even Brian Billick has addressed, some of the shots that Andy has to take for being tight in big moments, and getting away. Now, I thought it was inexcusable how they lost that lead to the Titans last year. They were a much better team than Tennessee.
Yep.
He forgot about Tyreek Hill, and he forgot about Hunt as running back. But, I don't think that's going to be a problem in this case. I mean, Damian Williams is a guy that they're going to have to get some production out of to keep that defense honest. But it's all about Mahomes, man. He's got the guy that can make things happen.
You call Gronk a meathead, right? Is that the term?
A lovable meathead.
Okay, here's that lovable meathead talking about playing the Chiefs.
I mean, it's always a heavyweight fight going versus the Chiefs, no matter when it is, regular season, playoffs. And it's just going to be that big and that tough of a matchup again. The stakes are high. It's to go to the Super Bowl. Both teams, we're going to be going at it, so it should be a good battle.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, respect, right?
Guys banged up. We talked about earlier, just one reception for 25 yards against the Chargers in the playoff win. But can Gronk be a bigger part of this? He had a monster day and the Dolphins lost. Wouldn't matter, the Dolphins had that ridiculous kick return to win it. But that's about Gronk's biggest game this year. Only 47 receptions on the season.
Sean McVay, guys, talking about, this rivalry. I don't even know if it's a rivalry. You beat them early in the season. The Saints beat the Rams. But he was asked about, is this going to be a rivalry?
As far as a rivalry, I think he's been doing it at a really high level for a lot longer than I have. So I've got a whole lot of respect for Coach Payton. He's an outstanding coach, clearly referenced by the way that his team's playing this year, how they've played over the course of his career when he's been leading the Saints. So I don't think we're in that category yet. We've got to do things for a lot longer to be able to be mentioned in that same breath.
He could have simply answered that question by saying, rivalry? Super Bowl! I haven't won one yet.
Right. It's a good answer, though. It's politically correct and no bulletin board material out there playing.
I like McVay, man. I like McVay.
Well, his game off the field is as impressive as his game on it. My God, man. What a year. Marist grad, by the way, right here in Atlanta. What a couple of years that dude's having.
Oh, he's got
I mean, Kingsbury, both those guys. My thing with the 5 o'clock shadow comes in all gray. Then you got to color it. You look like Ming the Merciless. I just can't do the 5 o'clock shadow thing.
You should just do it. Women dig that. Women dig that. You should just do it.
Yeah, but I mean, I worked with a guy years ago. He's like the Grecian formula number 10.
Didn't work?
Well, it's ridiculous. It was like you took a Sharpie and you covered it in like the gray spots.
It can be tough sometimes, man. You let the gray, what's it called? The gray.
Salt and pepper?
Yeah.
No play for Mr. Gray. The world's worst TV commercial.
See, now this gets us back to that conversation we were having last week about being bald and guys being bald and worrying about it. Would you rather be gray or bald?
Right? I mean, look, I'm rolling with it. I still got the giant flesh-toned yarmulke on the top, and the wife wants me with hair, so I'm going with it. I don't want to be the guy swooping I don't be like Tony Kornheiser with three bacon strips over my head. You know what I mean? That's where I'm going with
Listen, this is no secret. We've talked about this for years. White guys will comb it over, right?
Yeah, but
I comb it over.
You know what? The thing is, if you're going to shave your head, though, you better be like carved out of wood. Otherwise, you're sitting the fat, bald guy. You got to really put some effort in.
Brothers cannot comb it over. There is no combing over for us, okay?
But I use that topic stuff.
For TV.
Think of like the stuff you would, remember the old game with the magnetic dust and you would move and put the beards on like that? It was like a little game, like a 99-cent game.
Yeah, it fills in the areas.
Well, they have this stuff called topic, and I used to use it. And I think that's what James Brown is using in the front, because his hairline is just going up.
Yeah.
But it does look good in HD. Just as soon as the wind blows, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, but you only need it for that 30-minute TV show.
Yeah, you're right, though. You're right. There you go. Grooming tips and a little NFL blitz right here on Dukes and
Bell. Only place you're going to get it. Mark Schlereth is on the way, guys. Let me mention this real quick. Available this weekend at the Superdome. Fried alligator, BLT with fried green tomatoes, Cajun mayo, and kettle chips. You ever had alligator?
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, I know, what's the obligatory line? Tastes like chicken. It's kind of like a gamey, or I mean, it depends on, again, you got to know how to cook it.
Okay.
But it's like a cross between like chicken and a scallop. Best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good, by the way.
Fried alligator?
Yeah.
If it's done right.
Henry's in Ackworth. He's from Louisiana. He's a good chef. It's unbelievable, the alligator there.
Is that the spot everybody keeps telling us about up there in Ackworth?
Yeah. Henry's? Downtown, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I got to go check it out.
Don't go this weekend. He's a big Saints fan.
I'm not going this weekend.
Give me a hotel room up there, man.
Dan Revell reporting that that's one of the sandwiches available. I don't know if they serve that all the time or not, but I was like, fried alligator BLT. Fried green tomatoes. Now, I'm a big fried green tomato guy, but I don't know about that fried alligator.
I mean, it is tasty. I mean, I've had it when you go on Alligator Alley, when you drive from like Naples or Fort Myers over to Miami, and you go through all those old tourist traps and stuff. That's where I've had it before. But yeah, if it's like everything else in life, man, just make sure it's prepared the right way. Okay. Hey, our buddy Jeff Schultz, by the way, from The Athletic, he retweeted a story from Christian Dyer that it looks like the Atlanta United, again, this has been out there for a couple of days, but saying that, feeling that, I guess, Barco could be loaned out for United, and the deal with Miggy to Newcastle, talk about Miguel Almiron, because the transfer window's got 2 weeks left to go over to Europe. Seems like that deal is dying on the vine. We will not move off the $30 million that Darren Eales wants for the transfer fee, and Newcastle doesn't seem prepared to cover the difference. So for the time being, Barco could get loaned out, then Pity Martinez, the next Argentine star for United, would come up. And that's the only way you can keep, you can't have four guys, designated players on the roster at one time. So the good news is we'd have Miggy to start the season.
It is good news. I guess the bad news is, when are we going to see the promise of Barco? At what point?
Star for Barco here in Atlanta. I mean, look, we won a championship, so we don't have to worry about, you know, wasting the money on the guy. I mean, we all see the brilliance in his game, just kind of tough because either he was banged up or we had that suspension. And then he's coming off the bench as a super sub. But either way, this is a story that's been out there. But just keep an eye on Newcastle, because they're trying to stay up in the Premier League. They need some firepower. Miggy would be the thing, but they're too cheap to spend the money.
I'm with Darren on this. Hold him hostage.
Heck yeah. And like, as we said, no one said we had to move Miggy. It's just, if teams make you an offer. Yeah. If you don't like the money, you hold on to one of the biggest stars in the league.
Can you imagine, like, Darren, to like the phone ring? Call me when you're serious and just hang up. I mean, you got to have, if you're going to have an offer, it better be a legit offer.
This is Darren Pounsant.
Yeah. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Slareth. We'll ask him about our O-line. We will also find out what he thinks about these championship games. But first, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
cover. C-O-V-E-R, cover, 72881. That is the line you text it to, or the number you text it to, 72881. Do it now for a chance at $1,000.
We'll cover the NFL. Will the teams cover the spread? We'll talk about that. Cover to 72881. Good luck for your shot with $1,000 right now.
If you missed Bobby Hebert on the program yesterday, we'll replay that for you. Coming up at 4:20, as he broke down and helped us understand a little bit more about these Saints, Mike. And listen, we saw them earlier. We probably should have beat them at least once at home this year. It didn't happen that way. But are they playing better now than they were earlier in the season? And the thing for me is, when I look at the Saints going into this matchup with the Rams, Mark Schlereth on the way, guys, is, you know, the Rams now have this 1-2 punch that I don't think people figured they would have with Gurley and C.J. Anderson. And I don't think they just showcased that for the Cowboys. I think that's something you're going to see in this game on Sunday. And again, I don't know if Gurley's 100%, but C.J. Anderson came out and balled out last week, man. He really did.
So you get the physicality, and again, takes a little bit, as you said, a little bit of pressure off Gurley, because he did look a little gimpy at times down the stretch. And look, I'm just not sure how it's not going to be a high-scoring game. Well, I got a take from Mark Schlereth on this, too.
No doubt. He joins us on the WaitForward.com hotline. Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion. And Stink, it's good to have you on the program, man. It's been a while since you've been on our show, but we certainly appreciate the time today. These matchups are interesting. And, you know, here we are talking about the Saints and, you know, the Rams, and everybody's going, oh, well, you know, look at the way the Rams ran the ball against the Cowboys. Do you think they're going to be able to do that and have that kind of success against the Saints?
Well, I know. Do I think they're going to have that kind of success against the Saints? Absolutely not. But, you know, one thing the Saints aren't going to do is they're going to run a bunch of run stunts and run blitz. One thing you have to understand about the Los Angeles Rams, and I've done three of their games this year. I did a game of theirs last year, or two games this year, one last year. And really interesting, Sean McVay was brought up in this game by Mike Shanahan. And Mike Shanahan is a wide zone running football team. Now, we did that at different personnel groupings. When I played for Shanahan in the late 90s, it was out of two backs and one tight end. 97% of the time, Sean McVay is in three wides. That's what they run. The only time they're not in three wides is they occasionally get in goal line, and even in goal line they're in three wides, and then kneel down plays when they've won the game and it's out of hand. That's about it. So they base everything out of the wide zone, 18-19 handoff, 18-19 force, 18-19 pitch and toss. And it's all press that hole, cut back behind the center, and get the backside down. And they do an exceptional job of that. And all their big passing plays really come out of matchups. They get, you know, one-on-one with a slot receiver on a linebacker and some of the play-action stuff. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys try to run to this stuff. They try to stunt that. And when you're a zone team, you beg them to stunt because it designates the zone for you. So if two guys are coming off and all of a sudden the defensive tackle pinches and they want to loop around, that's so easy for an offensive lineman to read that and get to the second level before he normally would get there, which creates wide-open plasms and huge running lanes. And you saw the Rams take advantage of that. The Saints will not do that. Alex Gibbs, my old line coach, my old line coach with the Denver Broncos in 2000, in the Terrell Davis 2,000-yard days and all that stuff, he is consulting with the Saints. There is no way in hell that defense will run those games against the Rams because you'll get eviscerated if you try it. And Dallas really never got out of it. That was their game plan. They stuck to it, and you know, they got gashed because of it.
Mark Schlereth with us, guys, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner, and we're going to talk more about the championships. But since you mentioned Alex Gibbs, I talked about him earlier in the hour. We had him here in Atlanta with Jim Mora. We got a zone blocking scheme, Mark, but we just don't have the horses to do it. We had a lot of injuries. Is it an attitude? Is it a combination of the size and the speed? I mean, what makes a good zone blocking team? Because we ain't been it the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, one, you got to have really talented players. And I always, you know, I always laugh when people say, well, you want a smaller offensive line, you know, quicker. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. You want to tell me Larry Allen couldn't be a zone blocking scheme? Come on now. You know, you want athletes to be sure. But the problem that you have in Atlanta is the injury issues. And when you get into injury issues with that system, especially today in with the collective bargaining agreement the way it is, that there's such a sense of togetherness, such a sense of timing, such a sense of having to work together, five guys becoming one, that when you have injuries and you separate and you mix and match and you do all that, it's really hard. There's no question. Look at the Rams. They're the only team in the National Football League that all five starters up front played all 16 games and started all 16 games. There's a reason they are so in sync running the football. And when you run the zone system, you've got to be able to have those guys together, cohesive, working together, seeing the exact same things, feeling the same things, and working together to the point where you don't even have to communicate. It just becomes, I sense it, you sense it, we see the same thing. That's been the biggest problem with the Atlanta Falcons is the injury issues, the shuffling around of the offensive line. That's a big issue, and when you get into that, all of a sudden, you know what you start doing? You say, hey, let's get out of the zone a little bit. Let's run a little bit more gap scheme. Let's run a little bit more pin and pull scheme. Let's do some other things. And then all that play-action stuff that coincides with the zone running stuff that looks identical, all of a sudden you scrap pile some of that because it doesn't fit what you're doing now. And now you've lost not only the staple of your running game, but you've lost a lot of your big chunk passing plays out of the play-action game.
It's a great explanation from a guy who knows, three-time Super Bowl champion playing for the Denver Broncos. It's Mark Schlereth. Stink, let me ask you this because I know you get this too. Oh, you can put anybody back there behind a zone blocking scheme. I mean, any back, man. It doesn't matter the scheme. You still have to have a dude back there, don't you?
Oh, there is no question. You know, we always laughed about that. You know, the year that TD Terrell Davis went for 2,000, the very next year he tore his ACL, and Elias Gary came in and had 1,200 yards rushing. And they all said, oh, you can do it with anybody. Anybody can do that. And I'm like, hell, TD would have had 1,700. You know, and then the next year, TD was still hurt, and Mike Anderson came in and rushed for 1,400 behind us, right? And they're like, oh, see, you can do it with anybody, 1,400. I was like, TD would have had 2,200 and broke the NFL record. Like, there's a difference back there. And a lot of it is just understanding blocking scheme, understanding what we're trying to accomplish. Everybody's a part of it, whether it's the receivers, whether it's the tight ends, the running backs, the fullbacks, all those things become a very important aspect of what you're trying to get done. And the running back understanding blocking schemes and understanding how to read what the offensive line is reading, you know, that's when you really become good in that system. When you have the vision that the O linemen do and you can sense what they're going to do based upon what the defense gives you. So it requires a ton of patience, a ton of understanding, and you have to really be, you know, have some football acumen about you back there in the backfield. It's not just, hey, stick your foot in the ground and come back, you'll be fine.
Mark Slaris with us, guys. Three Super Bowl rings, one with the Skins and two with the Broncos. One at our expense, by the way, back in 98, 99. Mark joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, brother, the AFC. The Patriots obviously just kicked butt on the Chargers, look great doing it. Josh McDaniels and the way he's calling the offense. I mean, pound for pound, is he the best OC? Or who's the guy that's getting it other than maybe Sean Payton?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know you'd have to give a lot of credit to Josh McDaniels because I think when you look at them, you know, like you said, pound for pound talent-wise, I think you'd probably make a compelling argument they're the least talented group in the bunch. You know, but they just find a way to get it done. They do such a phenomenal job, and I find it laughable. You know, I heard a bunch of people say, hey, Rob Gronkowski's on the way out. He didn't produce. He didn't have a catch in the first half. All I did was watch him whip the ass of defensive linemen and damn good players. And Mark Ingram, right? Mark Ingram and Joey Bosa in the running game. I mean, he absolutely manhandled those guys. And then also, you saw them set up. They do such a good job with their power plays and the play action off their power. And then the wham plays. And you saw him motion in and set up a wham, and it was off play action to get a 31-yard gain over the top with a little, you know, with a little over route to Julian Edelman right off the wham pass. So I think he had a huge, he didn't catch a pass, and I thought he was one of the most impactful players on the field against the Chargers. And so it's not just, you know, we tend to be fantasy football driven, right? We all want to see numbers, and we want to see sacks and sack dances, and we want to see touchdowns, and we want to see catches. I look at other stuff. Like, I look at how you dispense justice on line of scrimmage, and you take people's will away, and that's what Rob Gronkowski did throughout that entire game, even though he only had a catch or two.
Man, before we get more into this Patriots-Kansas City game, because I want to ask you about Pat Mahomes, because you played for or behind, or should I say some good quarterbacks played behind you. Stinking good chili. Stinking good green chili, that is. What's the deal with this, man?
It's, you know, it's my little pet project with a good buddy of mine. We started the company 10 years ago. We just released some queso dip. You can find more out about it at stinkinggood.com. You know what? It's been our little pet project, and it's been funny because, you know, you start something like this, and you think, oh, it's going to be easy. And then you kind of realize what you don't know, which was plenty. Like I always say, if I'd have known then what I know now, I probably would have done it. But you know what? We've had a blast doing it, and it just consistently grows. And yeah, I know more about the grocery business than I ever intended to know, and a lot of it's not good. But you know, we're just going to keep on plugging until we either hit a home run or go out of business, one or the other.
All right.
I mean, as long as your overhead is low, man, you're good, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably key.
Yeah.
What about
absolutely?
What about Pat Mahomes? 50 touchdowns during the regular season, Mark. I mean, this guy. You know, I said if he wins the next two games, we're arguably looking at the best individual, you know, single season performance by a quarterback maybe in NFL history. And this kid basically played his first full season this year.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, you know, and he's got upper level quarterbacking skills when it comes to manipulating the defense from the pocket. I mean, he makes throws that are really indefensible. He made a throw against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens played him as well as anybody. A touchdown and a corner route to Travis Kelce, where he did such a phenomenal job. He knew the defense he had. He knew he had cover two. He knew that if he just held that safety in the middle of the field, he'd never get back over the corner in time. And I'm telling you what, the safety played it about as well as you could play it. And Patrick Mahomes held him and then turned and didn't even look, just threw it to a spot. And Travis ran, got it, and it still had about a yard before the defender got there. And it was you couldn't really defend it any better than the safety defended it. And it was still a touchdown by a good yard and a half. And, you know, it's just those throws from the pocket are absolutely phenomenal. And then forget about what he does outside the pocket. He's got an innate ability. You know, and I always say this, having a son that's a pitcher. People want to compare pitchers to quarterbacks, and I never do. It's like you have to have an elite-level shortstop type of arm. You got to be able to throw from different windows, from different platforms, from different body angles, underhand, overhand, sidearm, whatever it takes to get the ball there, and you have to do it accurately. And on top of that, you've got to be able to stay, even from a sidearm position, on top of the football so that you can get the RPMs on it so you can stay on top and you can actually drive it. And I have never seen, like, he's got Aaron Rodgers-esque type ability when it's throwing off-platform. I've never seen a better off-platform thrower in my entire life than Aaron Rodgers. And I think Patrick Mahomes might be his equal or maybe even better. And I think that baseball background has a boatload to do with that.
All right, Mark, we got about 30 seconds left, big guy. Who's in the Super Bowl?
Shoot, you know, I mean, like, picking between Kansas City and New England is like eating a turd versus eating a turd with sprinkles on it. So I'm going to go with the turd with sprinkles on it, and I'm going to pick New England just because the AFC West guy can't take Kansas City, which means Kansas City, put your money on them because my picks are awful. And now I'm going to go with the home team in New Orleans. I think the Saints are really, really good. I think this is going to be two shootouts. These are going to be great games. I'll take the Saints and New England. So put your money on the Rams and St. Louis. I mean, the Rams, excuse me, and Kansas City.
Brother, it's good to talk with you. I'm glad things are going well, and continued success to you, Mark. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Be well, guys.
You too. That's stink, man. Mark Slayer joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Good stuff from him, and you'll hear Bobby Hebert's take on the Saints coming up next hour. When we come back, though, it's in case you missed it with Mike Conte.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up 4 o'clock, we're going to talk some college football. Interesting stuff at Alabama that we're going to get into. And Urban Meyer, what is he doing? All that's on the way, but right now it's time for Mike Conte, brought to you by...
He's not spending time with his family?
Don't get me started. Resurgence Orthopedics. Guys, check them out. It's they bring you, in case you missed it. What's going on, Mike?
We were just talking out in the bullpen to Knox, and apparently he got approached in the men's room. Someone was trying... Let me finish.
Oh.
He got approached in the men's room. Someone who works on this floor as well, but not in our office,
right,
wanted to know if he had access to Super Bowl tickets. Like, has this happened to you guys yet?
A lot.
Like, it cracks me up. Look, we have the greatest job in the world. We get to sit around and talk about sports and get paid for it. It's an awesome job. But it has always fascinated me that there's this perception out there that we have access to free tickets to everything. No, we don't have access to free tickets to anything.
No.
Let alone the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where the face value is, what, $2,400 to get in?
At least.
You know? It's even worse for SEC Championship. I feel like that is the worst every year. Hey, do you have an in on SEC Championship tickets? I mean, I'll pay you for it.
Somebody was asking us for, yesterday was asking us about, like, what, the Maxim party? And it's like $700 to get in, they're charging. So you can look at all the stars and celebrities you can't talk to.
Can I tell you something about that? You know? Like, and if the Maxim party sponsors anything on this radio station, I guess this is going to be bad for me. But should...
Don't get me wrong, it's a great party, but you got to be in the money.
Why would you pay to get into a party? Does it kind of defeat the point of being at the party if you have to pay to get in there? Because Super Bowl, like, the whole thing about Super Bowl is there's a status to being at these parties. And basically, it's a race. I mean, we saw this in Houston 2 years ago. It's a race for someone to get invited to the best party. And, you know, you go in the next day and you compare, oh, well, I was at this guy's party. Well, I was at this guy's party. If you have to pay to get in the party, I think that defeats the purpose of going to the party. Because Mike's right. Are you going to be able to walk up to Shaquille O'Neal or Deion Sanders?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before. Carl and I, and you've been to these parties before. It's just a matter of, do you have the juice? If you got the juice and you've got the access, you know, if you're in with somebody who's got the juice,
that's
all that matters. But otherwise, to your point, it's a waste of time. I'm with you.
I can't believe you guys are poo-pooing all these parties that are coming to town.
No, look.
Hey, I heard you.
If you got the juice, okay, you want to call in a marker, you got somebody. You know, I mean, if the ESPN party, the Maxim party, the Playboy party, the three biggest ones. And it's always a lot of fun when you get to interact with the stars and you're on the right side of the velvet rope. Otherwise, you're just staring at all the action.
Frequently, you have to know one of the stars to interact with them. I've not been to any of these Super Bowl parties, so I could be completely off base here. But
no, you're absolutely right.
I don't know.
I get it. No, I get it. And here's the deal. I think, for example, I just saw something about, like, Jamie Foxx performing at one of these parties. I don't know which one it is. And you know, let's just say I'm a fan of whomever is going to be at one of these parties, and I find out. I think everybody has this notion that they can just kind of show up and maybe I get a chance to, you know, I might get in. Right. And so you have people showing up because they've never gotten a chance to either engage or see these celebrities, and they want to get a chance to do that because these people aren't around all the time. So I think there's an element of it that exists. But actually getting in and partying with these people, yeah, that's a different deal.
Like, just off the top of my head, trying to think of a random celebrity. Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if I come in here...
Go, Adrian!
Right. If I come in here next Tuesday morning and I go, guys, I got to go to the Sylvester Stallone party, is it going to mean the same thing if I got in because I knew Sylvester Stallone and we were hanging out together because we're boys?
That's different.
Or I had to pay to get in to get a glimpse of Sylvester Stallone. I don't think that does anything for your status.
I got right. you. I got you. That's years ago, the Super Bowl here that unfortunately is linked with Ray Lewis and all this other went down in Buckhead. But mm-hmm. before all that went down, Cobalt was the spot to be. The old Lottos that later became Cobalt.
Right.
And that was a night where Johnny Plops and I are hanging out in the corner of the bar with Paul Horning. You know, we just when you run into
now,
people,
see, I bet that would have been awesome.
So my dad, being a huge Notre Dame fan, Carl, talking to the Golden Boy, it's like, I just wish my dad was around. He goes, I get a lot of that. Mm. What are we drinking? And he's a right. guy's guy. Absolute blast to talk to.
Legendary stories right. about yes. Paul Hornig loving all that goes along yep. with enjoying life.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you know, Cardi B was supposed to be in the Super Bowl halftime show. There were reports that she was negotiating with Maroon 5 and it fell through. So she's not going to be in the halftime show. But it has emerged that she's going to be in all the Pepsi commercials on Super Bowl Sunday. Ooh. So I was not aware of this. Apparently it is a very big deal to be in the Pepsi commercial because Cindy Crawford has done this. One Direction, Madonna, Mariah Carey, the Spice Girls. I guess if you are in the Pepsi commercial, it's kind of like you're the big star
okay.
of the year.
Okay.
So she's going to be in the Pepsi commercial. Of course, she's
Cardi! She is a big star now.
She absolutely is. She's going to perform with Bruno Mars at that concert they're having
yeah.
at State Farm Arena. But she will not be in the halftime show. So... that's the first little leak we've gotten about a Super Bowl commercial. You know, usually these are kept very close to the vest because, you know, Frito-Lay always has something really edgy that they want to surprise you with on Super Bowl Sunday, but at least we know that.
I know everybody's awaiting the next Gillette commercial, Mike. I know everyone's waiting.
Harry's. Just buy Harry's, guys. Harry's razors.
Got a lot of people talking about those commercials.
I know.
Cam Newton. Did you know this? I had no idea that apparently... Jerry Richardson, when he was the owner of the Carolina Panthers, it was kind of an unspoken rule that Jerry Richardson would not allow his players to get tattoos because they had to uphold a certain wholesome image to play for the Carolina Panthers. Right. Now, I would think the players' union would probably have something to say about that. I can't really imagine that being true, but that's been the rumor. Cam Newton went out this week and got a tattoo.
It was true, by the way.
It was true.
No, it was true.
Oh,
it was absolutely
true. The players' union was cool with that?
No, I don't think, Mike, you got to think back now. This is prior to some of the things that have happened as of late, but it's true only because I remember talking about this when they were thinking about drafting Cam. Mm-hmm. And it's on record. Jerry actually said, Jerry Richardson, to Cam Newton, you don't have any of those tattoos, do you? And asked.
I don't want no tattoos or earrings on our players,
and,
Mike.
And they asked him. And of course, Cam responded, you don't know, I don't know. I don't have any tattoos. Now, obviously, that's changing, but it was something that was out there, and I don't think there was any kickback from it from anybody simply because, again, how long have the NFL owners just kind of been the NFL owners? Doing whatever they want to do, hiring whoever they want to hire, or setting the rules. That's kind of been what it is. Yeah. So,
I mean,
yeah.
It's ownership in general. Remember, Marge Schott was famous. I don't want any earrings on my ball players and tattoos
well,
and all that.
Steinbrenner. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, the Yankees still do the mustache thing, right? No facial hair on the Yankees.
Do they still do that? Yeah. Well, anyhow, so Cam Newton, I guess, went up to New York City, got a tattoo on his hand. Now, look, I don't have any tattoos. I don't have any perspective to know how painful it is to get a tattoo. It sounds to me like the hand, would, especially for someone like Cam Newton who has zero body fat, would be a very, very uncomfortable place to get tatted up.
Yeah.
But he's got one now. We don't know
what
it is.
Well, at least it wasn't the neck or face.
That's, to me, the neck is such a sensitive area. I mean, you know, hickeys and all that, Mike.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Well, that
yes,
was a very sensitive area, easy
yes,
to bruise.
Yes, I suppose
right.
that is true.
Hickeys and all of that, yes. Mike. What?
That's a very sensitive part of your body.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
No, I mean, and they always tell you, like, anything on the face really hurts because your skin's really thin there.
And also will probably stop you from getting a good job. You know, if you have a face tattoo,
in most cases, yes, it is difficult to conceal a facial tattoo. But like a lot of A lot of people put tattoos behind their ears,
right?
And they'll have long enough hair where they can cover it up, I guess, and it's no big deal to them. Yeah. But anyhow, we don't know what the Cam tattoo is yet because no one's gotten a close enough look. It is on his non-throwing hand,
okay,
by the way. It's on the left.
It might be something to his boys or, you know, his kids
right,
or something.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. Here in this photo that he had taken at the tattoo parlor, he's got like a big bandage on it.
Ooh.
So,
oh yeah.
I hope they didn't mess it up.
If you got one, though, Conti, where would it be? What part of your body? If
Who,
you
me?
Got one. Yeah.
I can't even imagine having one.
No?
Yeah.
You wouldn't get one on your arm or
no?
No.
Leg?
No
way.
No?
No way.
By the way, you know, we talked about commercials the other day, commercials that are funny, make you use the product. Is it AT&T's doing the one where things are not just okay and the tattoo artist? Because you're the best tattoo artist.
I'm
a tattoo artist in town. I'm okay.
It is funny.
The guy's like, hey, stay in your lanes. Aren't you supposed to trace that?
Well, it's like when the doctor comes in. Here comes the doctor!
That one made me chuckle.
It's funny.
Guess who got reinstated?
Not officially. Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys, we got more to get to, including the latest in college football. What's going on with these coaches leaving without telling anybody?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.